Quick question to ask. It's slippery outside, you may have noticed on the way in. There's some concern that it may either get better or may get worse as the day continues, depending on what the temperature does and what the wind does picking up. We've been back and forth about whether to do the congregational meeting today or put it off till next week, and I thought, let's have our most contentious discussion right now. Do we put off the annual meeting for a week or do it this week? We have some soup and sandwiches ready to go, and we can have the soup and sandwiches regardless. We can have a quick soup and sandwich and then head on our way and do the annual meeting next week if people prefer, or we can go ahead and do the annual meeting this week. So I'll ask you to raise your hands. Yeah, there are a few people here. No. I loved at one point I was walking through and there were more people in the choir than the congregation. So congratulations to all of you for coming out. So I'll put it to you, how many would prefer that we put the congregational meeting off by a week and we can still stick around for a quick soup and sandwich after the service and then go home? Postponement, raise your hands. How many would you prefer that we go ahead with the congregational meeting this week? It's almost exactly a split vote. What's that? That's right. On a split vote, the moderator has to make the decision. We will put the congregational meeting off till next week, but please stay for just go downstairs after the service, a quick soup and sandwich, and then you can head on your way. And then next week, there'll be more soup and sandwiches. So thank you all, and stay safe through the afternoon, too. Now the announcements.
Good morning and welcome to everybody who was able to come in, a lot more than everybody thought. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. There may not be anyone new today, but if there is, we're glad that you've come to possibly be part of our church family, and we're glad you are here and hope you find a warm welcome. Everyone is invited to share after, without the meeting, downstairs for really lovely soups and sandwiches, so please take advantage of that if you would like. So there aren't really any major announcements other than Ladies Fellowship at Kim Millar's home on Tuesday night, and a lovely bulletin that has been put out by Gepi, and especially if you just want to look at the back page, it's quite a lovely description of a group of people in the church written by Herb Brennan. So are there any other announcements? Then let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. God has given us the gift of this day. God has given us the gift of this congregation and the gift of his people. God has given us so many gifts, we begin to take them for granted. And yet as we gather to worship, we offer to the Creator what is due from the creation. We offer to God who we are and what we are. Let's join together in our opening hymn, The Church's One Foundation, number 479. I invite you to remain standing for the responsive call to worship, and Lily is going to lead us.
God is our help and our refuge.
His love is from everlasting to everlasting.
We are God's creatures, his creation.
It is God who made us, and we are his children.
Sing a new song to the Lord.
It is right to offer God our worship and our praise. Let us worship God.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, hear the prayers of a grateful people. Help us, O God, as we gather as your people, as we look at the lives we have and all that we have in our lives, help us not to take your gifts for granted. Gifts of love and life within family and among friends. Gifts in the whole creation and in this gathering. Gifts we celebrate in ways we cannot put into words, and in ways that go beyond all words. In the silence of these moments, O God, we take a moment to think of the many gifts you've given to us. Lord God, we also bring to you our confessions. Confessions that we feel we haven't lived the way we ought, that we haven't risen to the potential that you've put within us. Feelings that there's more that we could and should be doing. For those things we ask forgiveness. We also ask, O God, that we wouldn't be paralyzed by those thoughts and feelings, but that you'd motivate us into action in your world. We ask this in Jesus' name and pray together with the words that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God has given us the gift of new life and fresh beginnings. The sins of yesterday are part of the past. In the present, we are a forgiven people, and the future is filled with God's unlimited potential. And so we move from this place into the world that surrounds us, giving thanks for all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Join together and sing our children's hymn, Amigo de Cristo, number 476. You've got a watch. Hey, Lily. You did a great job on the call to worship. Got the right one? I have a question for you guys. First of all, good morning. How are you all this morning? Good. And my question is, the one I ask you every week, are there any celebrations?
Yes.
Yes. Oh boy. Tegan.
I don't know.
You don't know, but you have a coin.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I have a coin.
You too? Yep.
Yeah.
And you have your... Oh, you got your moose pillow. That makes me think I should get out my moose slippers. Yep, they're in my office. Lily.
My dad's coming back today from Montenegro.
Your dad's coming back today from Montenegro? Fantastic. That'll be great. Yes, Thomas.
Friday night, the Woodruff Concert Band performed the Music Fest.
Mm-hmm. Friday night, the Woodruff Concert Band performed a music fest. Did it go pretty well?
Yes.
Excellent. Good. Aylin?
I got moo cow.
You got one too?
I got moo cow.
Oh, you brought your moo cow. Yes, I saw your moo cow. Very good.
Can I keep my moo pillow?
And you got your moose pillow too.
My
boy.
I have a fever.
All God's critters got a place in our church. So, I think... Tegan, Aylin have done it. Devlin's done it recently. I think Thomas's turn if you'd like to do it.
Okay.
And let's listen to see what the other celebrations are. Are there any celebrations in the choir?
My dad's birthday is tomorrow.
Your dad's birthday is tomorrow.
I got out skating 3 times this week.
You got out skating 3 times this week. Good. Any other celebrations? All right. Any other celebrations? Terry.
I'm also celebrating that the concert band did very well and that Thomas and Katie are in it.
Celebrating the concert band did very well and that Thomas and Katie are in it. Wonderful. Any other celebrations in the congregation? Yes. Heather. Not that you wanted to get him out, but Calvin's on the train this morning. Back to school. Great. Any other? Donna.
For the talented poet in our congregation.
For the talented poet in our congregation, Herb Brennan. Excellent. Alan celebrates his 88th birthday tomorrow. Yeah. That's a lot of birthdays. Herb.
I'm still waiting for my first goal of the year.
Still waiting for your first goal of the year. Well, are you waiting at home or?
Yeah.
might be part of it, yeah.
I think I'll start waiting at the rink soon.
Yeah, start waiting at the rink. Gradually work into it. Good. Any other celebrations? Good. I have a celebration for Alan's birthday as well. Thank you, Thomas. So, you guys have some pretty neat things. You both have watches on this morning. Uh-oh. Yours fell apart.
It goes back.
It goes back. Okay, good. Did you guys just get those? Or is that new?
Yeah, not new.
Not new?
No, not that new.
No? Fairly new?
Mine kind of getting bigger.
Yeah?
Getting bigger.
Oh, wow.
Well, it can't break if it smashes on the floor like a lot of times.
Yeah, it smashes on the floor a lot of times?
It would break.
Yeah, it would break. It would break if you did that, yeah. I was going to ask you guys if you have any other exciting things happening in your lives today. Was anyone excited about the ice on the ground this morning?
Not really.
No. Not really. Did anyone fall on the way to the car this morning?
No.
No? Almost?
Almost.
Yeah? Yeah. That's a bit scary, isn't it?
I almost went to the front.
Almost went right to the front. Yeah. So sometimes it's exciting to see the weather comes, isn't it? We never know for sure what the weather's going to be. And we keep looking at the weather forecasts and we're saying, okay, well, what's tomorrow going to be like? And we were talking about this all day yesterday, saying, well, what do we do? Do we do the congregational meeting or not? Do we have people stay? Because it looks like the weather forecast says it's going to rain, it's going to be icy. And sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. So it's hard to know what's going to happen. Does anyone get excited when we get a lot of snow? Yeah? Was anyone excited when you had the snow day from school?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have to go to school? Yeah? Was that kind of fun? You got to see them. Did you play in the snow that day? You got outside? Yeah.
I think
so. That's pretty exciting. So some days are kind of exciting with the weather, and some days aren't so exciting. So I don't think anyone's really that excited about the ice on the ground this morning. You strongly dislike the freezing rain? Yeah. I don't think you're alone. How many other people strongly dislike the freezing rain? Yep. Yeah, it's not very much fun. It makes it hard to get around, and you worry about falling. And there's a lovely scripture reading, and I began with it this morning saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I like saying that one because it's a reminder that even whether it's freezing rain and it's a terrible morning, or you wake up and it's summertime and it's pouring rain and you can't get out, or whether you wake up and there's snow on the ground and school's canceled and you get to go outside and play, or you wake up in the summer and it's sunny outside and you can go swimming and go to the beach. All of these days are days that God gives to us. And no matter what the weather is like, no matter how terrible things are outside, no matter what we're doing in our lives, we also rejoice in the day that God gives to us. And we thank God for the days that we have.
I don't really worry about if it's icy.
You don't really worry about if it's icy? Yeah. Well, maybe when you get older you might a little bit. Yeah. But you don't worry about slipping on it?
Nope.
It's kind of fun. You're still pretty close to the ground, so you don't have too far to fall. Let's have a prayer together, and you guys can head off to Sunday school time. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for today, for the day you've given us. Help us to give thanks for this day, for all we have, for all we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys head off to nursery and Sunday school. Ready to go?
This morning, our psalm reading is from Psalm 37, reading from verses 1 to 11, from the Red Psalter, and, of course, from the wall. Do not fret because of the wicked.
Do not be angry at the wrongdoers.
For they will soon fade like the grass.
And wither like the green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, who will give you power in your hearts.
Commit your way to the Lord, trust in the Lord, who will act. Be still and wait patiently before the Lord.
Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices.
Refrain from anger and forsake wrath.
Do not fret, it leads only to evil.
For the wicked shall be cut off.
But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there.
But the meek shall inherit the land, and delight themselves in abundant prosperity.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 to 15. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, Come closer to me. And they came closer. He said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you here, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt, and that all you have and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. And that brings us to our New Testament lesson, which is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And that ends today's reading, and we pray for understanding of these words.
Let's join together in singing Help Us Accept Each Other, number 632, or on the screen. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our God and you are our guide. Amen. So what are we supposed to make of this morning's gospel reading? You might recognize it, actually, because that was the reading that I used at the end of the sermon last week. After all the blessings and all the woes, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled, but woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. All these verses, these things that Jesus said to the group of people that I can only imagine would have divided them, would have made them think, are we the blessed ones, or are the ones who are receiving the woes? And so you've got two different groups already gathered together listening to Jesus. But at Bible study this week, when we read this passage, when we looked into it a little bit more, we had a few problems with the passage. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Is that really what it means to be a Christian? One of the things I really enjoy about our Bible study is that people are pretty blunt and pretty frank about what they think about the reading. And it gives us an opportunity to get into the passage. This passage sounds like we're being called to be a doormat more than anything else. And not only that, it's not just a matter of ego and who we are and how we see ourselves, but it also can be dangerous. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. That sounds like bad advice. Anyone who's ever been in an abusive relationship or knows someone who's been in an abusive relationship can see how dangerous that passage can be, especially if the passage is misused by an abuser. And I have no doubt in the history of the church that it has been used for that purpose. And then there's just the practical level of this passage. It goes on to say things that I can't imagine us doing. In fact, the world probably couldn't continue to function. Our economic system would fall apart if we actually followed these things. Many years ago, I loaned my brother an electric bass that I owned. I had picked it up, used, from when I used to be a truck driver and working for a moving company. I was moving a family, and they had this lovely electric bass. It wasn't in great shape, but it was okay. And they didn't have a case for it, and we didn't have a box that it would fit in very easily. And they said, just throw it away in the garbage. And I said, well, if you don't want it, could I have it? By the way, it's not the only time I said that when I worked for the moving company. We had a house full of potted plants that was the envy of many, because people can't move their plants. But they said, sure. And I had myself an electric bass. I kept it. I played around with it a little bit. I was going to fix it up. I was going to buy an amp for it at some point, but I hadn't gotten around to it. A few years later, my brother decided he was going to start playing electric bass again because he had played bass in high school and really enjoyed it, and even through university, but he had sold his Rickenbacker 4001 electric bass and his 1966 MG Midget and all of his DJ equipment to pay for his university education and for seminary. So being the good brother I was, I told him he could borrow my bass until he got one of his own. After all, I wasn't really using it. But I did say borrow. Some time passed, and I was visiting the house one day, and he very happily showed me his new Fender Precision bass. I said, wow, that's much better than the one that I loaned you. I guess you won't need mine anymore, will you? And he said, oh, I don't have that bass anymore. I sold it to buy this one. But that was my bass, I said. I only loaned it to you. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Is this passage telling me that I should not be upset about not getting my bass back from my brother? You can tell that I've let it go. I don't even think about it anymore. Well, that sounds like bad news to me. Though even as I was writing this last night, I was thinking that I'm keenly aware that I have Peter Selby's engine hoist in my garage. I have his hammer drill in my office here at the church, and I'm sure I've borrowed other things from other people here, so I may not be so badly off in the balance of things. But I don't think that's really what this passage is all about. But that's what it seems to be saying on the surface. I've spent quite a bit of time lately thinking about the problems we face in our world today, and I'm sure many of us have been. Political issues, religious issues, issues of inclusion in the church, of those who seem different from the way we are in some ways. It seems though one of the biggest, well, and perhaps the biggest challenge we face in the world today is how do we bridge the divide between different and increasingly polarized groups? Liberals and conservatives, Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, first world and two-thirds world people, democracies and autocracies. How do we reach a point where we see more of what we have in common with others than what divides us? And is the answer some sort of compromise? Some sort of middle ground on these things? You give a little, I give a little, and we end up with some sort of position that both of us are equally unhappy with? Some people say that's the definition of compromise. As I said last week, it seems as though Jesus was doing a pretty good job of dividing the crowd that he was speaking to when he used his blessings and woes. He then begins his next part, the part that we had this morning, with the words, "But I say to you that listen." But I say to you that listen. It's almost as though there's an acknowledgement there that some will listen to what he has to say next and others will not. But I don't think he's speaking as though one side is going to listen and the other side is not. I think this is a message for everybody. I think Jesus' words are bridging the gap and presenting a radically different way of living, a much harder way of living, granted, but potentially a life-changing way of living. And Jesus jumps right in what seems to be the most difficult for our world to do. His first words are, "Love your enemies." I keep trying to explain to myself what Jesus really meant with these instructions, and I keep wondering if maybe I don't have the ears to listen. It does feel like he's telling us to give in to our enemies. Let them walk all over us. Don't stand up for ourselves. Well, what if Jesus' words were the exact opposite of what he actually did say to us? What would it sound like if he actually recommended that we not do what he's saying and we do the opposite? "But I say to you who won't listen, hate your enemies. Do evil to those who hate you. Curse those who curse you. Hurt those who hurt you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, strike back at them. And from anyone who takes your coat, when the opportunity arises, take theirs back. Give to no one who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, get them right back. Do to others exactly as you would think they would have done to you." That doesn't sound like the sort of world that we would like to live in. And yet, in many ways, it's not a bad description of what we often see around us. It is seen as weak to not respond with force to force, or respond to injustice with proportional response. In fact, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth either seems to demand it or at least to allow it. But Jesus seems to be envisioning a different kind of world, a better world, a world where somehow the cycle of violence can actually stop. There are a few verses in the passage that stand out, and they seem to sum up what Jesus is saying. Love your enemies. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do not judge, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Imagine what that world could be like. It's not a world where hurt and abuse are tolerated or encouraged. It's a world where mercy and generosity become the norm. It's interesting, there's a very similar passage in the Gospel according to Matthew. And at the end of that passage, it says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." But Luke takes those words and says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This passage is not an easy one to hear. None of us is perfect, except God. But we can strive to be merciful. I'll end with parts of today's reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Eugene Peterson has an incredible ability to take a passage and put it into contemporary language. Sometimes it's jarring, but often it opens up the passage. "To you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and present it as a gift. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting in return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Give out of the God-created identity, the way the Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we are at our worst. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people. jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Generosity begets generosity. May God add his blessing and his strength to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings upon blessings we receive and we know in this life. Generosity begets generosity, and so we give our tithes and offerings for our ministry here in the community and around the world will now be given. Lord God, we do thank you for the gifts that we've received in this life. We thank you for the opportunity we have to offer a portion back to you. We ask that what we've given might be token and pledge of all that we are and all that we have. We also ask, O God, that you'd work through us to make us channels of your peace and your love for this world that surrounds us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Amen. Join together in our closing hymn, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided, number 477. We go from this place and the world that surrounds us with a gift and with a challenge. It's not easy to love our enemies. It's not easy to lend, not expecting to get it back. It's not easy to follow Jesus' teachings. We go with the strength, with the spirit, with the hope that we can do what we are called to do. Now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with us this day and every day. Amen.